All right. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Thank you very much. It is good to be here tonight and appreciate the opportunity and have definitely been looking forward to this date for some time. I love your preacher, amen. I have, as I said in chapel, they've been following him for quite a while, and he was very influential in my wife's life just early on as a teenager growing up, hearing him preach many times, and said she made some major decisions in meetings that Brother Wells preached, and I appreciate that. Thank you for allowing me to be able to preach in college today. I had a good time doing that, and I know you don't know me, and I don't know you, but thank God for saved, we know the Lord, amen. I'm thankful for that, and I'm one of his children. If you are too, if you're saved, and thank God, you may not want me in your family, but I'm in your family anyhow, amen, and I sort of appreciate it. It's a good-looking Wednesday night crowd. You heard about that evangelist that was preaching a revival for church, and come Monday night, there was only about 10 people in the pew, and he looked at the pastor, and he said, man, you didn't tell anybody I was coming? And he said, no, I didn't, but somebody must have, amen. And amen. Good looking Wednesday night crowd. Hey, let me just say very quickly about our CD table. My wife is with me 99% of the time, but as Brother Wells said, we just got back from the Philippines, and she's back home just doing ministry work there in the office and getting things ready for us to hit the evangelism trail hot and heavy next week. And she definitely apologizes for not coming, but she usually is at the table, and she's able to take the square on our table, and I don't have a clue on how to do any of that. So tonight, all we can really take is cash and checks. And up until about 6 months ago, I said that we would even take bologna sandwiches. But I was up north not long ago, and I made that statement. And I got to church that night and had about a half a dozen bologna sandwiches waiting for me. So I don't make that statement anymore. Amen. But let me just highlight just a few of our CDs back there. There's no way in the world that I can highlight all of them. And all the money that we do make on the CD table goes right towards the ministry and primarily missions, things like that. We support through missions through our local church, but my wife and I also support missionaries on our own. And also it helps with the trip that we make over to the Philippines each year. Let me just say this, and I hope I always get this message across. By no means do I want to bring any kind of glory to sin or Satan whatsoever. And I also want to get the message across that God saved me the same way he saves anybody else. And that's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But before God saved me, I did go through all the rehabs and in and out of jail and was totally dependent upon a 12-step program. Thank God I heard about the blood of Jesus, amen, and got saved, and my life has never been the same. And perhaps you've got a friend or coworker or a loved one that is struggling with those things, and I've got my full-length life story back there that may be able to be a help to someone. Also got a message back there, brand new to the table. It's called this. It's called Saved But Not a Christian. Saved But Not a Christian. You understand, we'll never lose our salvation. One of my favorite verses in the entire Bible is John chapter 10, verse number 28, that says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Thank God we'll never lose our salvation, but you understand, the word Christian is not a title. The word Christian should be a testimony of our life, amen. The word Christian means Christ-like, and I don't know about you, I don't want it to just be a title, I want it to be a testimony. So, saved, but not a Christian. Also, got a message back there simply titled, Prayer. Brother B.G. Buchanan, a good friend of Brother Wells as well, he made a statement. He said the reason that everybody is coming out of their closet is because Christians have forgotten about their closet, amen. And we need to get back to a good old-fashioned prayer closet. All the single CDs are $5 a piece. I've got some series messages back there. How many of you got a friend, a coworker, a loved one that's lost? How many of us here tonight? Probably all of us. And you've invited them to church, and they haven't come to church yet. But maybe they would put a CD in. My wife put together her favorite gospel messages that I preach and got series set over there on the table, simply called Simple Salvation Message. Got a message back there called A Place Called Calvary. Got a gospel message back there called in the series set The Gospel from Genesis to Revelation. I said, man, that must take about 2 days to preach that. No, it takes me about 35 minutes to preach the gospel from Genesis to Revelation. So simple gospel messages. And then also got a series set called The Consistent Christian Life. There's a danger to inconsistency, amen. Just ask King David. King David should have been leading his troops in a battle, but he stayed home in Jerusalem, and as a result, he committed a sin that forever altered his life and the lives of all others around him because of his inconsistency, and got a series set called The Consistent Christian Life. And then I got a series set just specifically for teenagers, but everyone can get something out of it, on Finish Well. And all of our series sets are $25 a piece, but if you want all three of them, you can have them for all three for $60. And then we have the CD of the Month Club that you put your name and address on, and you can pick up two CDs for January and February tonight. And every other month, you'll get a brand new CD waiting for you in your mailbox, and it's $50 for the entire year. And then one of our prayer cards, it's the most important thing as far as my wife and I are concerned, that you can pick up off our table. It's one of our prayer cards, and we definitely covet the prayers of God's people across the country. And there's something neat I've got on our website there. It's a church locator, and just for instance, if you go on vacation, you can put where you're going on vacation, and churches that I preach in or I would highly recommend, it would pop up near that city to where you can, I believe you ought to go to church when you're on vacation, amen. I believe you ought to go to church when you're on vacation. But anyway, it's got that church located. Just say, for instance, you're going to Memphis, Tennessee on vacation. And why in the world anybody would want to go on vacation to Memphis, Tennessee? I don't know. But if you did, we got some churches there that we would highly recommend. Amen. So you go back there. We got a dear lady back there that'll be at the table. I don't know how in the world to pronounce her name, but she'll be back there at the end of the service. Amen. I appreciate her helping me out. How do you say her name again, brother? Polywathical, amen. Did I say that right? Amen. I get a sucker at the end of the service, amen. All right, Ezra chapter number 4 tonight. Ezra chapter number 4. Ezra chapter number 4. We'll be praying for her and her husband as they go to the mission field. Make sure you get that prayer card to me, sent to me as soon as possible, amen. Ezra chapter number 4, if you find your place, let's all stand as we take reverence to the reading of the Word of God. You'll find that we stand in reverence to reading the Word of God. We find it from the book of Nehemiah when Ezra opened up the book. He read the book. He preached from the book. And not only did he open the book and read from the book, but the people said amen when they agreed with something. Amen. So if we're going to do one, let's do it all. Amen. So Ezra chapter number 4 tonight. Ezra in chapter number 4. Brother Wells, thank you again for allowing me to be able to come. Thank you for the comfortable room, the good meal, and especially the good fellowship. I've enjoyed myself, been able to spend time with your preacher, and got a sharp staff. I appreciate them as well. Ezra chapter number 4, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do. And we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build a house unto our God. But we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Brother Crutcher, would you open us up in prayer, please, sir? Would you do that just from right there? Amen. You may be seated tonight. Allow me just to lay a very brief foundation, and then we'll get right into the message tonight. You'll find that the enemies of Judah and Benjamin were people who had been relocated in the kingdom, in the northern kingdom, when Assyria conquered Israel in an attempt to infiltrate and disrupt the project of rebuilding the temple. And these people offered to help the Jews rebuild the temple. And what they wanted to do is they wanted to keep a close eye on what the Jews were doing. And they were hoping to keep Jerusalem from becoming a strong nation once again. But you'll find the Jews, however, saw through their ploy. And can we be reminded tonight, church? Can we be reminded tonight, child of God,
that any time that we partner with unbelievers, it always leads God's people to compromise their faith. Those of us that are saved, we can always expect opposition when we're doing God's work. Unbelievers and evil spiritual forces are always working against God and God's people. And we need to move ahead with the work that God has planned for us and trust God to show us how to overcome the obstacles that come along this journey called the Christian life. I want you to look at Ezra chapter number 4, and I want you to look at verse number 5 with me tonight. Look at Ezra chapter 4 and verse number 5. You understand, the Jews' purpose was to rebuild the temple, but the enemy came in to disrupt that project of building the temple. I want you to look at Ezra chapter number 5. The Bible says, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. Their purpose was to rebuild the temple, but the enemy came in to frustrate them from fulfilling that purpose. Can I say this tonight? Well, I'm not trying to say this for filler. I'm not saying it because it sounds good in the message, but I believe with all my heart we're living in the last days. Amen. And I believe the Lord Jesus Christ could come back before this service is even over. Brother Stephen Crane, that pastors there in Gulfport, Mississippi, I was preaching for him some time ago, and he said, Brother Dallas, he said, as you see the Word of God, he said, what do you see that needs to take place before the coming of the Lord? And I said, Brother Crane, I'm just a young preacher. I don't have all the answers. Matter of fact, I don't even know most of the questions. But as I read the Word of God, the only thing that I see that needs to take place before the coming of the Lord is the sound of the trumpet, amen. I believe that Jesus Christ could come back before this service is even over. And can I say, in these last days that we live in, there's a lot of things that frustrate me, amen. Can I say, politics frustrate me. How many of you are glad that November the 8th is over with? Amen. I'm so glad. They said that it was so quiet on November the 9th at the Hillary Clinton campaign that you could actually hear an email being deleted. Amen. But anyhow, politics frustrate me. Can I say religion frustrates me? Amen. Thank God 18 years ago when I walked into the Bethel Baptist Church of Walls, Mississippi, they didn't tell me about a religion, but they told me about a Savior, amen. And my life has never been the same. One preacher said it like this, religion is man reaching up to God, but salvation is God reaching down to man. Religion frustrates me. Can I say those people falling out on God, that frustrates me. Those that abandon the King James Bible, that frustrates me. Those that compromise their Baptist heritage and throw away standards, that all frustrates me. And there's something wrong with a child of God that wants to live pure and holy and clean in a wicked world. There's something wrong if you haven't become frustrated in this world that we live in. You understand tonight, church, I believe that our purpose is to build the house of God. And I understand that God builds his house, but he uses you and I as human instruments in order to fulfill that purpose, amen. Look at Ezra chapter 1, look at verse number 3. Look at Ezra chapter 1 and look at verse number 3. We'll find out what their purpose was. Can y'all hear me on the third row over there, everybody all right? All right, I had a little girl in Colorado not long ago, said, Brother Dallas, you ever thought about toning it down just a little bit? And I said, no, ma'am. I said, my mom and dad always said I had a big mouth, and I don't want to prove them wrong now. Amen. Look at Ezra chapter 1. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him. Let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. You understand, the Jews' purpose was to rebuild the temple. And the enemy came in to frustrate them from fulfilling that purpose. You understand, tonight in 2017, God's purpose for his children is to build the house of God. I understand God builds his house, but he uses you and I as human instruments in order to get that accomplished. And my friend, the same thing today in 2017 is still happening. The enemy is coming in to frustrate us from fulfilling God's purpose for our life, amen. It says in verse number 5, to frustrate their purpose. And as I was reading these verses, it came to me that the devil does not have to kill us to keep us from our purpose. He simply just has to frustrate us. You understand, the 1828 Webster's Dictionary describes frustrate as to break or to interrupt, to disappoint, to make ineffective. And I believe to disappoint is the best description for this particular application. Let me put it this way. When expectation is up here and reality settles in down here, when expectation and reality do not meet up, we become frustrated. Frustration is the difference between expectation and experience. It's the difference between the way we expect to live and the way life actually turns out. It's the difference in the way we expect to serve the Lord and our actual service to the Lord. It's the difference in the expectation of achievement and what actually is achieved. It's the difference in the way we expect the church to grow and the way the church actually does grow. It's the difference in the number of souls we expect to see saved and the number that actually are saved. It's the difference in the number in the things the missionary expects to see on the mission field and what really does happen on the mission field. Can I put it down on our level tonight? Can I say tonight, child of God, it's the difference in what you expect the doctor to say and what the doctor actually does say. It's the difference in what the way you expect life to turn out and the way life actually does turn out. And when expectation and reality do not meet up, we all become frustrated, amen. And I believe with all my heart that frustration is the great tool of Satan and his great weapon against the church. And he wants to stop the building of the house of God. And he does it by filling our pews with frustrated people. That's why Sunday school teachers quit. That's why bus workers quit. That's why other workers in the church quit. That's why some make a sudden decision to leave the church. Can we understand tonight, child of God, they're not all evil people. Maybe some of them have just become frustrated. I don't have all the answers. I don't even know most of the questions, but there's three types of frustrated people in churches that I've gone to across this country. First of all, there's those that are frustrated with themselves. They expected that when they got saved, they would serve the Lord and see God use them in a great and mighty way. But they did not serve God the way they expected to serve God, and now they're on the brinks of frustration. Some expected they would never fail the Lord, turn their back on God, or disappoint Him. But they found themselves in the depths of frustration because they did exactly what they set out not to do. There's those that are frustrated with themselves. Number two, there's those that are frustrated in their relationships. They expected the person they married to be the perfect mate, but they found out that there were some flaws. Bliss turned into hard work. Delight turned into demands. Perfection turned into problems. They expected there would never be a crossword, but those words came so quickly and so unexpected. They expected there would never be any disagreements. But now they think some things can't even be resolved. There's those that are frustrated themselves. There's those that are frustrated in their relationships. And the third group is this. There's those that are frustrated with their church. They expected the church they joined to be perfect, the members to be perfect, and the preacher to be perfect. And can I let you in on a secret tonight? That type of church does not exist, amen. You know why the church is not perfect? Because you're not perfect. The preacher's not perfect. But can I say to the member of Parkside Baptist Church, even though this church is not perfect, it's far better than the church down the road that has compromised this old King James Bible and those that go after lost sinners. And even though it's not a perfect church, thank God it is a good church, amen. Thank God for that. I want you to look very quickly, and we're going to get right into the message. Very quick message tonight. Look at Ezra chapter 4. Look what happens when we allow frustration to take over. Ezra chapter 4. Look at it with me tonight. Look at verse number 24. Ezra 4, verse number 24. The Bible says, then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased to the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. You understand? The enemy fulfilled their purpose and stopped the building of the house of God. Can I say tonight, child of God, we must not let Satan fulfill his purpose, and that is to stop the building of Parkside Baptist Church. We need to understand that frustration is the work of the devil, and we must not allow him to accomplish his work in our life. When we do that, that causes frustration in the lives of others, and Satan continues his evil work to stop our purpose, and that purpose is to build the house of God. We just need to put our pegs down and say, even though I'm frustrated, I'm still going to serve God and still go on with God's purpose for my life. Amen. And very quickly tonight, I want to preach on this subject, on how to eliminate frustration once it comes. You say, Brother Dallas, you're going to preach a message tonight and show us how we'll never experience frustration ever again? Absolutely not. My friend, I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news. The question is not, will we go through frustrating times? The question is, what are we going to do when we do go through frustrating times? Amen. Can we also be reminded every single one of us are just one phone call away from our entire world being turned upside down? Expectations up here. Reality is down here. When expectation and reality do not meet up, we become frustrated. But thank God the Bible says this in Psalm chapter 62, verse number 5. My soul wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Amen. Thank God for that. Very quickly tonight on how to deal with frustration. How to eliminate frustration. Look at Ezra chapter 5. Look at Ezra chapter 5. Look at verse number 1. Look at Ezra chapter 5. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, then the prophets, Haggai the prophet, Zechariah the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Look what it says. It says, Haggai and Zechariah prophesied. Can I say, first of all, frustration can be eliminated by the preaching of the word of God, amen. You understand, any time that we feel frustration in our life, we need to realize that we need as much preaching as we possibly can get. We need to read sermons. We need to listen to sermons. We need to be in church every time there's preaching. The Bible says that God has chosen preaching to fulfill our needs, and that will help eliminate the frustration in our life. I'm talking about the real Bible preaching that you get behind this pulpit every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, and my friend, when expectation and reality do not meet up and you become frustrated, it's not time to stay at home when it's preaching time. It's time to come to the house of God and be under the preaching of the word of God, because that will help eliminate the frustration in your life. I'm not against counseling to an extent. I'm not a counselor, but I'm not against counseling. But people want counseling about everything. They want counseling about shacking up. They want counseling about drinking liquor. They want counseling about gambling. They want counseling about beating their kids. They want counseling about everything. But can I let you in on a secret tonight, child of God? The best counseling service you'll ever get is every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, when Pastor Wells stands up behind this pulpit and opens up the word of God and thunders aloud the message that God has laid on his heart. And the frustration you're going through, you may have not even told anybody. But if you're a saved, born-again child of God, the same Holy Spirit that lives in you is the same Holy Spirit of God that lives in him. And as he's in his study and he's praying and he's preparing for the message that God would have him to preach, that God may just lay the message on his heart to help you get through the frustration you're going through. But it cannot help you if you're not there to listen to the message. Amen. But it's the frustrated that need preaching the most. But it's usually the frustrated that will stop coming to church and resist anything the Lord tries to do during the preaching. They get critical. They get judgmental. They get resentful. And they're trying to justify the difference in what they expected and what they experienced, may I tell you, that difference will always be there. That's why we need revivals. That's why we need special meetings. That's why we need conferences. That's why we need to go to other local churches to hear men of God preach, because we need all the preaching that we possibly can get. Some think nothing of missing a church service and wonder why they experience frustration. That frustration affects their life, their home, their peace, and their relationship with God. Child of God, I'm trying to help you tonight. I'm trying to be a help to you tonight. Can I say, you're always, always, always making a mistake when you miss or refuse to receive the preaching of the Word of God. And I'm not so narrow-minded and so naive to understand one of the hardest things you'll ever do, the trials and the tribulations and the heartaches of life you'll go through, one of the hardest things you'll ever do is walk through the door of Parkside Baptist Church with a Bible tucked under your arm. But that may be the thing that'll just salvage your life. Amen. Amen. Be under the preaching of the Word of God, even though you're frustrated. Second of all, very quickly, look at Ezra chapter 5. Look at Ezra chapter number 5. Look at verse number 2. Not only can preaching help eliminate frustration, but Ezra chapter 5, verse number 2, the Bible says, then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of God. What's that next word? Helping them. You want me to tell you what will help eliminate frustration? Not only the preaching of the Word of God, but second of all, participating in the work of God will help eliminate frustration. Amen. You understand that's God's purpose for our life, and that is to help build the house of God. Child of God, dropping out of any service to God is never the answer. We never need a break from participating in the building of the house of God. That's God's purpose for our life. Sure, the devil will fight, and we may even become weary, but we must not stop participating. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1 says this, therefore seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 16 says this, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I can't tell you how to prevent frustration. I'm just telling you how to eliminate it once it comes. Stay faithful and don't quit, even though you're frustrated, put your pants down and say, I'm still going to serve God and fulfill what God has called me to do. Even though I'm frustrated, amen. I've seen so many get frustrated and they bow out of their participation and they end up falling out of church altogether. They had good sounding reasons and they may have even convinced me. But they didn't get rid of their frustrations. Their frustrations just got worse. Look at Psalm chapter 138. Now I know Brother Dan Carr Sr. is very close to this ministry and you're very close to his ministry, so I'm just going to go ahead and set the record straight. I flat out stole this illustration from him, amen. I'm just going to let you know that I stole this illustration from him. I don't mind taking somebody else's sugar stick and knocking the devil over the head with it, amen. I don't mind doing that at all. Look at Psalm 138. Look at verse number 7. Look what David said. David said this, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Church, let me ask you, if I'm standing right here in the auditorium, where am I at in the auditorium? I'm in the midst. Notice what David said. David said, he didn't say I've just got trouble in front of me. He didn't say I've just got trouble behind me or above me, below me, to the right or to the left. Mississippi terminology, he said, I'm right smack dab in the midst of trouble. He said, I've got trouble in front, behind, to the right, to the left, above, below. He said, I'm in the midst of trouble. There's some here tonight, you're in the midst of trouble. There's some you've got financial trouble. There's some that got trouble on the job site. There's some that may got trouble in your marriage. There's some that got trouble with a prodigal son or a daughter, a wayward daughter, and you're in the midst of trouble. But look what David said. David said, though I walked in the midst of trouble. David didn't say, though I sat down in the midst of trouble. David didn't say, though I lie down in the midst of trouble. David said, I've got trouble all around me, in front, behind, to the right, to the left, above, below. He said, but I tell you what I'm going to keep on doing. I'm just going to keep on walking. I'm just going to keep on putting one step foot in front of the other and keep on walking. And child of God, can I encourage you tonight? Hey, don't be a casualty. Don't be a castaway. Hey, just keep on walking, even though you got trouble. Hey, keep on walking to the choir loft. Keep on walking to your Sunday school class. Keep on walking to your bus route. Just keep on walking, even though you're in the midst of trouble. Amen. And then look what David said. If I keep on walking in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. My friend, I don't know much about this Bible, but one thing I do know God honors and he blesses faithfulness and obedience to him. And if we'll keep on walking in the midst of trouble, he will revive us. Amen. Number three, very quickly, I finish. Number three, not only preaching will help eliminate frustration. Just to make sure I'm not on a lonely island, have you ever been frustrated in the Christian life? How many of us have been frustrated? Amen. All of us. Every morning I get on the scale, I'm frustrated. Amen. Every single day. Look at Ezra chapter 3. Ezra chapter number 3. Don't you love the Word of God? Amen. Aren't you glad that it's God's answer book to all of life's questions? Amen. I love the Bible. Ezra chapter 3, look at verse number 10. Oh, this is a good one. Look at Ezra chapter 3, look at verse number 10. The Bible says, and when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets. The Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord. After the ordinance of David, king of Israel, they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. You understand tonight, church, not only will preaching help eliminate frustration, not only will participation help eliminate frustration, but number three, just finding out what it is to praise God, that will help eliminate frustration. And can we be reminded tonight, child of God, like the old song goes, even though you're going through a valley, the same God that was worthy to be praised on the mountaintop is the same God that's worthy to be praised in this valley that we're going through, amen? He's still worthy to be praised. You understand, this crowd didn't just sing in the choir, sing a special in church every other month. They praised the Lord. They shouted with a great shout. They looked at the building of the house of God. They were filled with joy because they were fulfilling God's purpose for their life. Things may not have gone like they wanted them to go all the time, but their purpose was being accomplished. They may not have liked what everybody else was doing all the time, but their purpose was being accomplished. Things may not have been what they expected all the time, but their purpose was being accomplished. You understand, some are not going to be in the work of the Lord very long because you don't know what it is to worship the Lord. You understand, your sour countenance will only add to your frustrations, amen? You understand, a loud amen in church will go a long way in eliminating your frustration. A smile and a hearty handshake will go a long way in eliminating your frustration. Opening up that songbook and singing with all your heart will help eliminate frustration. I don't know if you know this or not, but raising your hand, weeping with joy, or getting happy in church, it's not going to kill you, amen. It just may help eliminate the frustration you have in your life. They knew what it was to praise the Lord. Now, I said point number three was the last one, but I got a point number four. I lied in chapel. I might as well lie tonight, amen. Look at Ezra. Chapter number 6. I'm finishing right now. Look at Ezra chapter 6.
I'm not condoning lying, amen, at all, unless it gets me out of trouble, amen. I'm just kidding, just kidding. Look at Ezra chapter 6. Look at verse number 14. Look at it very quickly. I'm finishing right now. Ezra chapter 6, verse number 14. The Bible says, and the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet, Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they builded and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. It says in the midst of this verse, it says, and they prospered. Not only will preaching help eliminate frustration, not only participation will help eliminate frustration, not only praising, but prospering will help eliminate frustration. Now, I'm not talking about making your wallets fatter and your bank accounts bigger. I'm talking about every soul that you went to the Lord, that'll help eliminate frustration. Every victory that God wins in your life will help eliminate frustration. Well, you say, Brother Dallas, you don't understand all the trials and the troubles and the heartaches that I have in life. I really just don't see very much victory in my life. Can we be reminded for some of us to be at the house of God on a Wednesday night instead of where we used to be on a Wednesday night? Hey, that's victory in Jesus, amen. You understand, every person that we help encourage in the Lord will help eliminate frustration. There's others to be encouraged. Can we be reminded that as a saved child of God, if we go through frustrations, it's not nearly the frustrations that those that are lost and dying and on their way to hell are going through tonight, amen? Every reward from God will help eliminate frustration. Every day in the faithful service of the Lord will help eliminate frustration. The Christian life is not a 10-yard dash. It's a marathon. One foot in front of the other, day after day after day, prospering in the things of God. How many of you have ever had expectation up here and reality's been down here and we become frustrated? Am I the only one tonight that has not always handled frustration the right way? Let's stand all across the room tonight. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.